I want you to think for a minute how many ways in which people communicate to each other. Today, much more so than how it was back, say, 100 years ago, or even 50 years ago, our communications were rather primitive by today's standards. In fact, if we go back even farther than that, oftentimes news of a great event would take several months to get to all the people of a nation. For example, if you might remember in the War of 1812, the war was actually over, and yet there was still one more battle to be fought, and that was the Battle of New Orleans. And because the news took so long to get to the United States and let the commanding generals and the people know that we were at peace, the battle went on, and there were those that lost their life needlessly. Communications would improve over the time. It would start with perhaps maybe something that lasted for about 6 months called the Pony Express, where they tried to get communication from one to another through the use of horses and Pony Express riders. But that got usurped by the railroad, which began to bring mail much quicker than what the Pony Express could do. And then there was also Morse code, you know, the dots and the dashes, right? And now today, what do you have? Well, you have so many ways in which you want, if you want to hear something, turn on the radio, you can turn on your TV, you can look to the news in your phone. It's all instantaneous. It's right there. It's right at your fingertips. Maybe it's not so much a wonderful thing that we are able to see so many things instantaneously because it doesn't allow us for a moment to be able to catch up. I'm wondering, if you remember, how was it that the person that you fell in love with communicated with you for the first time? Was it just a hello? Or perhaps in days such as today, and with what your senior pastor experienced, was it by being connected through eHarmony and through a series of messages that we got to know each other until we finally decided it's time to meet? Judy seemed to think that when we went out to dinner that night that she was out with a guy that was extremely wealthy. Because I had said, well, order anything you want. And she said, oh, I like filet mignon. I said, well, go right ahead. And we had dessert. We had appetizers, all that stuff. And she walked away. She said, boy, these pastors get really well paid. Little did she know. But that was our first face-to-face. I think about when I was in high school and my younger days and the little notes that get passed back and forth between people and expressing their feelings for each other and how exciting it was that when you got a Valentine on the Valentine's Day, unlike Charlie Brown, who seemed never to be able to communicate with that little red-haired girl, that you know you get these special notes and it just would set your heart aflutter. Nowadays, people actually break up using the texts on the phones, which it's so highly impersonal. I think it's such a cruel thing, you know. Well, it's much easier to do that than to do it face-to-face. I still think, you know, communication is best when we're able to look at each other in the eye and to be able to talk and to be able to share, because you can't interpret text. You don't get the emotional level on that. You don't get all the feeling and everything else that goes on when you're talking with each other to understand whether the person who's communicating with you is happy, sad, angry, depressed, or whatever, because you can't read in the inflection of the words. So if you want to avoid a long conversation with somebody that you just don't really want to talk to, you send them a text. And if you want to do something that, you know, you just don't feel like doing something with that person, you just say, I'm busy that day, I'm sorry. Or I don't love you anymore. I want to suggest to you that tonight and today, the gospel message which we have, the story that we are so familiar with Gabriel coming to Mary, is really God's love letter for us. It's really God's way of expressing his love to us. And God does it in such simple ways that we take for granted of how he expresses his love for us. Now we know the history that God has with his people is ups and downs that the peoples have had with him. We know that God sent his prophets We also know that God spoke to people directly in the early portions of the Old Testament, and they couldn't stand it. They were terrified being confronted by this overwhelming entity that we know as God. So when Moses takes the 70 up to the mountain and they meet with God there, the 70 say to him afterwards, "Don't ever have us do that again, Moses. You talk to God." But now today we have this rather phenomenal message of where Gabriel confronts a small town girl and says to her, "I have a special message for you." And it says that Mary is perplexed. I would think that Mary would probably have great fear in her heart at the moment that she is confronted by an angel. I mean, how often do we have that opportunity to be confronted by, say, Gabriel, saying, "David, I have a message for you." Huh? I just probably would ignore it and keep walking along thinking, I must be going crazy here. But Mary, she listened, and it said that she pondered these things, and she took it all in. And when it was all done, when the message was over, Mary learned that not only was she expecting, but that her cousin, who was so much older than her, who was never had children, was really too old to have a child, was going to have a son. And she is 6 months along. It's amazing news. And she concludes by saying, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. I'll do as you ask." Mary is representative of the faithful servant in the church. She does something that I wonder if she understands fully what all is going to be involved in this relationship with God. Much like, you know, when we tend to, you know, have something phenomenal happen to us and we fall head over heels in love with someone and we just, all we see are certain things we want to see, but, you know, it's if we don't know the person very long and we get ourselves caught up in that moment and we get married and then suddenly we find out, oh, this isn't the person that I thought I married. Because we're just caught up in the moment. Mary must have been feeling somewhat torn. First and foremost, that she has this wonderful experience of this encounter with an angel, but yet at the same time, after the news has been given her, and after it's all been said and done, and she returns home, she goes and she sees her cousin, but then she still has to deal with the fact that she's pregnant. And I wonder what thoughts she had when she had to tell Joseph those things, when she had to tell her family. If she knew of the stigma that would give to her, I'm sure she would have realized that. Oh, so you're expecting a child. Yeah, God did it. Uh-huh, sure. I wonder if she knew of what was going to happen when this child was born. We don't have a lot of details when Jesus is a young boy, but we do know that he wanders off at a certain point and they don't realize it until a couple days later that he's not with them. And they go back and they find him teaching others, teaching the elders about God. And their first comment was, you know, "Jesus, what happened to you? Why weren't you with us?" And he responded by saying, "Didn't you know I'd be in my Father's house?" How maddening or how you know, frustrating or just confusing that would have been for his parents. And then if you recall, at the moment of dedication, a few days after Jesus is born, they take him into the temple to dedicate him, and they are confronted by two elderly individuals, one by the name of Simeon and another one by the name of Anna. And both of them sing these praises and these wonderful songs. And again, what an amazing sight that would have been. And this man who takes the child, Jesus, into his arms, and he says, "Lord, now let me go in peace because I've seen your salvation." He sees in Jesus that here is the promised one. And again, I wonder how the parents would have seen that. Would they have marveled? Would they have been fearful that this old man would have been saying all these things about Jesus? And the fact that he would say to Mary that, you know, he would be the cause of the rise and fall of many, but that even a sword will pierce your own soul. That would have been disturbing. And I wonder what she was thinking at the time that she sees, she's at a wedding with Jesus, and she hears that they've run out of wine, and she just says to her son, they've run out of wine. And he says, what's that to me? And she just turns to one of the servants and says, do whatever he asks. And after Jesus has said, you know, this is not my time yet, he goes ahead and he changes that water into wine. We know that Mary was at key places in Jesus' life and that she appears, according to the Gospels, as we read them. And we also know that she was there at the foot of the cross to see her son die before her very eyes. Did Mary know the pain that she was going to experience in raising this child? Did Mary know the amazing things that her child would do? Did she know these things? Did she understand what this love letter that God had given her, what it all meant? And what does it mean to us? We come here every Sunday. We go through a certain ritual. That's part of our liturgical understanding. We do certain things. And if we're not careful, we can just kind of do it by rote, and it just kind of rolls out of our mouth. But is that the way in which we want to say, I love you to God? I mean, do we do that at home? When we come home from work and we greet each other, is it the same thing, same routine? And we sit down and, how was your day? Oh, it was fine. Or we might grunt or say something, or we look at our phones. Or do we express our appreciation and our love for one another? Or are you like me, where sometimes my mind is absorbed in thoughts and I'm looking at a paper or watching the news and Judy's talking, and then finally she realizes I'm not listening and she says, are you listening to me? Every once in a while I'll just say, uh-huh, yes, nod your head, and then I'll say, I'm sorry, because I know I should have been listening. I think about that with my kids when they were growing up and how many times they wanted, you know, dad to do something and tugging on my pant leg and times that I was so tired or whatever, if I responded in the right way or a loving way or if I ignored it. Because you see, we take for granted this love that God has given us. We take for granted the very visible signs in which he shares with us so that we too might know of this wonderful relationship that he desires for us and for what he has given to Mary. I wonder how we understand that we bear Jesus with us also to each other and to the rest of the world. Because you see, God communicates to us in some very distinct ways. One is he does speak to us directly. He speaks to us through others. I've had that happen to me many times, and sometimes the other person who's speaking to me is not even realizing that God is speaking through them, but boy, I understand it very clearly. And then there are other moments that sometimes people are saying things to me, and I'm not hearing it, and then God says, you know, wake up, David, and listen, I'm talking to you. Just say, uh-huh, every once in a while. But then God also gives us this love in such special and unique ways. Today in this baptism, as he brings into his arms Madeline and all those who have been baptized in this place, we are reminded of just how much he loves us and embraces us. And the reason we do a baptism of infants is a way of showing that we are totally helpless, that none of us earn this love, but that God is so gracious that he pours it out to us. He says, you are my child. And I forgive you, and I will forgive you again and again and again. And I will give you the assurance and the power of the Holy Spirit to help you through those moments of doubts, those moments where you are tested in society, and will lead you to where you need to be, and ultimately will call you home. And then there's another very ordinary thing that we do that God makes so special, and that is we gather around the rail, or we gather together as a congregation, and we are fed by the bread and the wine, the body and blood of Christ, that we may be reminded just how much God loved us through his Son, And it's because of the death on the cross and because of his resurrection, we see how much that love means. So as we come to a conclusion in this Advent season, we are reminded of the many ways in which God has sent his expressions of love through his prophets and through his servants, and now to us. And we are reminded that as we move into this Christmas season, that it's about sharing that love with everyone, of breaking down the walls that have divided us, of being able to overcome our prejudices and our hurts and our anger towards others, that we may share in a complete and loving relationship, no matter what lays ahead. For surely Mary had many questions after that initial message, but she carried it out. And so too do you and I, as we leave this morning and go out and celebrate and worship and just do our ordinary things. We share in God's love that is first given us. Emmanuel, God with us. Amen.